If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Alex Cardoza, as you sit next to me on this screen, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can, I want you to listen to me, Alex. I want you to digest this, because before you leave from New Jersey to go back to North Carolina, I want you to get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. This is the SmackDown post show for June 20th. We got a little pipe bomb retread. Not so bad from John Cena tonight. We're going to talk about all of that and more, but FightfulSelect.com has had you popping all week. Sean's been dropping some late night scoops. He's beaten the aggregators because they're all like, I'm going to bed. And Sean's like, no, it's about drive. It's about power. I stay hungry. I devour. I post scoops at FightfulSelect.com. $5.99 a month. We had updates on so much stuff. We had word that Bryan Danielson is believed to be getting back in the ring by other AEW talent, which is great news. Oh my gosh, so many things going on in Fightful Select World. We, of course, have our episode of SmackDown to talk about tonight. We have Collision back on at its normal time spot on its normal day. I'm thrilled about that. But plenty more coming up from you on Fightful. Super chats, humper chats, leave a thumbs up, subscribe to this YouTube channel, subscribe to Fightful Select. You guys know the drill. But let's dig into this episode of SmackDown. Good and bad on here. Good and bad on here. Some predictable, distraction-y finish stuff. Some same old, but we ended on John Cena recounting the pipe bomb, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. We got Orion Ben saying, Mirror Alex is in a new locale. I don't like the change. Well, I do, because he was in New Jersey and I actually got to hang out with Alex. We got coffee earlier today, so I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But Alex, how did you feel about SmackDown overall today?
I feel like it was like a 50-50 show. It wasn't bad. It had some good highlights. I'm pretty sure everyone went home happy seeing, you know, good old good boy John Cena. Kind of bring it back to 14 years ago, you know, and just kind of giving it to us again. So, very, very middle of the way show. normally I come on here and I'm like, I take a deep breath and I am like, okay, well, let me tell you the good things, because I'm a glass half full type of person. But tonight I feel good. I feel good. Not a lot, you know, obviously we always have critiques, but I liked that copy paste promo at the end. I don't know why. It popped me a little bit, you know.
There was a lot to like about it. My thing, and we'll get into it momentarily, is that was a baby face promo, not a heel promo. Like
100%.
Calling out someone's hypocrisy is a babyface thing to do. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. I thought it was the most compelling thing that John Cena's done in a very, very long time. So I was very, very glad about that. But as I'm watching this, as I'm watching the crowd get into it, I'm like, this is babyface work. Now, if it's leaning toward a double turn, please, because I feel like they should both be on opposite sides of the coin. But I love this from the Line Drive, who says, "Hi, Simon Miller. Hi, Tom Campbell. Hey, Corey Hayes." Whoops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. Let me tell you something about Tom Campbell, okay? He does this thing calling me a silly goose. See, I could quote the pipe bomb all day. Could quote the pipe bomb all day. That's the most important promo that I witnessed as a wrestling fan
very early in my
wrestling fandom. Me and Norma saying, "I super chat for the preservation of bangs and clavs. Now let's crank." Kate, I'm wearing a Victorious Orioles hat. Sorry, not sorry. Where are them clavs at? Well, the Yankees are in their June form, which means they just forget how to play baseball for like the next 6 weeks or so. So I'm take your victories where you can get them. Take your victories where you can get them.
Yeah, for sure. It's a long season, friends. 197,000 games, so.
It is 197,000 games. John Taylor saying, "Hey, Kate, hey, Alex, while you sit there, hopefully as comfortable as possible, I have absolutely nothing I want to get off my chest." Well, we love that John Taylor has a clean conscience coming today. He's at peace with everything in my life. Thank you for hoping we're comfortable. This is a very cozy chair. Alex has got his clavs out. We're living our best life.
Look at that tone. That tone that's coming in.
That's what's up. Hey, while you're in Jersey, you can get to the beach this weekend. It's supposed to be like 100 degrees, so.
Like eastern seashore of New Jersey is contaminated with bacteria. I will not be putting myself in.
You don't love just like laying on the beach, looking at like muddy water and seeing syringes pop up? That's not like your ideal. Well, someone in a very thick Jersey accent is like, "Let me tell you about the PTA." Sarah, come in. You're too far out. That's like the
I
Jersey
would like
Shore experience.
All of you to, after the show, not right now, after the show, Google Top Sail Beach, North Carolina. Enough said. I'll let you guys.
Well, that was fun while we had Alex here. That was a good time. Now he's just going to rub it in her face. No, I need Alex back because last week I just got a complete match ending wrong. I said they pinned Carmelo Hayes and they pinned LA Knight. It wasn't like that wrong. Randy Orton
pulled
him out of
the air
with an RKO. But
by the way, if you shout out to everyone. Thank you for all the wonderful messages while I was away at Ranger Stop and Pop in Atlanta. And if you happen to be at Ranger Stop and Pop in Atlanta and you're in the chat, say hi.
Yeah, let us know. So real talk, Alex and I got coffee earlier today. We talked about podcasting in general. We talked about life. And he was like, "Kate, you're so lucky. I made time for you because I'm a celebrity." Okay. I was at my Ranger Pop and Shop.
Whoa, excuse me. I'll fix that for you. Ranger Stop and Pop.
There it is. See, I blocked it out of my life because I was so sick of Alex was like, "I was there," and people were just coming up to me like, "I watched the Fightful Post show." They were fawning over me, asking for autographs. Alex was like, "Oh, you want a picture? That's $20. Pony up." That's what happened.
Dawn, who produces my show when we do Ranger Stop and Pop, was there. She's my producer there. And she could tell you, I had people come up and I told her, I said, "Can you believe it? They seen me at on Fightful." It was, I mean, what can I say? I set up my own booth. I Virgiled it up. Rest in peace.
I Virgiled it up, which means you were sitting all alone, but you were charging a lot of money.
Yeah, you gotta make your money.
I will say sincerely, like, it's so nice to meet people in person because, like, people are so weird online that we were talking about this too. Like, authentically, the energy you get from people in person who are like, "I love spending my nights with you," is the best.
Whoa.
It's the best.
I love when people tell me they love spending
their nights with
me. Hey, BlueChew.com. No, I'm just.
Well, let's dive into this episode of SmackDown. We got over 2,500 of you watching right now. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and spending your Fridays. Let's start at the end first because this had some incredible stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So we did have I was, I'll admit it, initially very much rolling my eyes because we had R-Truth and John Cena, Ron Killings, I should say, and John Cena. Surprise, surprise. John Cena uses the title. This match is a disqualification. I know it's crazy, okay? I know it's nuts that, like, they would have a DQ finish of some sort on an episode of SmackDown in this economy. But then we got something really cool. We got CM Punk coming out, which is more or less predictable at this point. But we had him going through the table, the Slim Jim table, which made this significantly less cool, but nevertheless. And we have John Cena cutting his version of the pipe bomb, which I felt like was fantastic. He pointed out all of his hypocrisy. He said that he was like Mr. TKO now, that he was no longer Punk, that he was corporate as they come. Pointed out all of these things, which are very real feeling complaints that a lot of people have about CM Punk right now, myself included. And that's part of what made the original pipe bomb so effective, I think, was it felt like very, very real complaints, voice of the voiceless stuff. I loved the, hey, Claudio Castagnoli, hey, Nick Nemeth, hey, Matt Cardona, how you doing line, and the smirkiness from John Cena. He did a great job running this back. We did get a video package earlier in the night alluding to the pipe bomb, and they cut Vince McMahon's name out of it, and I rolled my eyes so hard at that, because I get it, you want to remove Vince from programming, especially as he's like making his comeback into wrestling, but like they did full AI video packages for El Grande Americano. They couldn't find something that sounded better than, there's one thing you're better at, and that's kissing ass. Like, do a better job. Do a better job than that. But I loved this, and I loved, someone's pointing it out in the chat right now, MJ Johnson, I had this thought too. OG fans remember that John Cena was fighting R-Truth when CM Punk cut the first pipe bomb. I think that's really, really, really cool nuance. You also have John Cena in this saying, I'm jealous that people fall for this idea that you're the best. And I liked that tie back too, because he was like, the original pipe bomb was, you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. And John Cena is in his I'm the last real champion run, right? So I liked all of this. I liked all of this. Duckman saying John Cena's best promo since he ran Roman Reigns down. I thought this was a fantastic promo. My only complaint about it is this is a babyface promo. The crowd is chanting along with him. He is pointing out the hypocrisy of his opponent, which I understand that CM Punk is beloved by the WWE universe right now. But like anytime you're doing that to me, you're the good guy because you're pointing out the hypocritical things about the other guy. So it just read as a face promo for me. This crowd in general is already not buying the John Cena heel turn. Like there's a lot of people that are like, I don't care if he's a bad guy. It's John Cena on his last run. I want to cheer for that guy. But Thunder Sky Dancer, what a cool name. You sound like on Captain Planet or something. Thunder Sky Dancer. John Cena's best promo in months, but question, is he turning face? I do wonder now if it's going to be a double turn. I will give the floor to you, sir. I was a big fan of this, but I was like, this just is a babyface promo, though. This is not a heel promo.
We've been saying it for months. this could be, I mean, with only limited available dates left for Cena, we could see this being, I mean, could be a double turn. I think it could be the second greatest double turn since Austin Brett, when they did that double turn in the ring.
Sure.
So could it happen? I most certainly think it could. For it to happen not in American soil, I don't know. You know?
It does feel like this should be a SummerSlam program, but now that they have King of the Ring and CM Punk's obviously not in that, that feels like we're probably setting up for the winner of King of the Ring to face John Cena and not Cody Rhodes based on, Gunther based on today's winners and based on the fact that we know this Goldberg program is coming up, right? So, I agree that doing it in Saudi Arabia is odd. And I also don't know if they're doing that. Like, I don't know if they want to make CM Punk a heel. They certainly alluded at him versus Cody, and Cody ain't going to be the one to turn heel out of that. So I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that. But I liked what we got tonight. I was just, I'm like listening to the crowd and listening to what he's saying and was like, this is a great babyface promo.
key points, by the way. I mean, they allowed him to say BS, right? Bull bleep.
They did.
It's early in the show. But they... not to get political here or anything like that. But they did bleep out, you know, God and then the other word after that.
Yes, they did. They did.
Which was really weird. But yeah.
They are, if anything, inconsistent.
I think I'll leave it at, I think when it comes to these two, they have the history. The parallels between this being Cena's last run and that was being Punk's last run are here. The fact that you have the I'm going to walk out of here as champion, as CM Punk was going to walk out of there as champion, if you remember. These parallels are now running alongside each other. I would love to see a double turn. Crazier things have happened. I mean, we are seeing CM Punk in Saudi Arabia for, you know. I mean, that if this promo was to take that extra mile, like Punk's did during that pipe bomb, if Cena would have used that as fuel to that fire, where, hey, do you remember not wanting to go to a certain place? Oh my goodness, that would have been insane. But obviously, for political reasons, they can't, because they can, they have that relationship with them overseas, you know. So
I think that that's part of why this felt trapped until tonight, was you can't insult the Saudi fans for what the government did and what CM Punk has said. And sure. I feel like that put them in a really, really tricky spot. This is completely an unforced error of their own doing from that side. But yeah, I saw a lot of people kind of echoing what you said of like, I can't believe they're doing this in Saudi Arabia when SummerSlam is right there. I saw John Alba saying that. I also did see, and I understand why they didn't do it, but if you wanted to go scorched earth.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He should have said Colt Cabana's name. He should have said it. He should have said it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, he should have said Scott Colton. I know that why they didn't, but if you're going to go above where the original pipe bomb went, you got to say Scott Colton.
It's funny how the company, you know, they let Cena, they're not going to tell Cena not to say something, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny, like, to hear, you know, 99% of the fans that go to wrestling, to WWE fan, you know, events are WWE only fans, right? Like the only ones are, you know, they dabble in watching other stuff, but like when you have Cena pop into a crowd, like like say, ooh, he said another wrestler's name. Like, it's funny, like kind of like the crowd to jump on that, which again is, it's good. It was. I think it was on point. I think that you needed this to add more for this fight that was kind of going nowhere. You know, so
sure did. I saw some other things online that I thought were a good point, because John Cena still has to work within a box. And I saw, I think most people really liked this, but some people were like, I already saw it. Like, I didn't like it. And I think where the original pipe bomb beats us out is like, John Cena would have had to say, maybe I'll go defend this in AEW. You know what I mean? Like, because you had Punk saying, like, maybe I'll go defend this in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll, like, defend it in Ring of Honor. Like, there are certain lengths to which John Cena was not going to go, because John Cena is not legitimately leaving the company like CM Punk was at, at that point. We got a message from Jim who said, I'll go on record saying I've enjoyed most of the Cena heel run, even if he's facing up tonight. I'm glad. I like it when people like what's on a wrestling screen. It just has not been for me at all. I have liked moments of it. I feel like there's nobody in wrestling who deserves the you people promo more than John Cena. Mm-hmm. I just found a lot of it very unsatisfying, and very little of what I found unsatisfying about it is John Cena's fault. Like the lack of the relationship with The Rock getting explained, the redundancy in how the matches are booked, the opponent's strength. I feel like they could have done much more productive matches than just playing the hit. So I'm so glad you've liked it. And I hope that a lot of people have liked it. It just has not been for me so much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, I mean, he's coming to an end, you know, like, where are we going, you know, with Cena, it's just like, I think this is the only thing I've liked on this, you know, heel tour of his. This is it, you know, so.
I think WWE has to get better about things like that, because I feel like I'm so glad for our super chatter there who's liked it. I think there's a lot of people who haven't loved it, and there's a lot of people that feel like they've dropped the ball with the New Day one, and there's a lot of people aren't really loving this Becky Lynch version yet, though I think more people are like understanding how that was productive for Lyra. So they've got to do a better job of making these heel turns count, because John Cena and the New Day turning are two of the biggest ones in the world, and it feels like they've largely dropped the ball on both of them. But
yeah.
Ricardo saying glad.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
To see the Bangs and Clavs connection back, I'm glad to have the Clavs to my Bangs back, man. It was 2 weeks without you and we missed you.
I know. Listen, I'm back. I'm like herpes. I'm not going anywhere.
Except you're welcome around.
That's like very true. Ones. And I don't just show up on your lips, you know. you know, and I'm glad to be here with you guys. I really, you know, I know online I say a lot, you know, I talk about wrestling and my confusion with certain things and the way I don't like other things. And I'm very critical of all the companies. Some companies I like more than others. Like, this is what the world is like. We're all humans. We like different things and we love different things. But when it comes to being here with you guys, I just love doing this. And this has nothing to do with the fact that after I met up with Kate today, she like basically held me down.
Yeah, that's like, true.
You know, plastic knife point, and was like,
it's true.
Don't you dare.
It didn't get to the point where I had to use the taser, but it was it was close.
It was close. And, yeah. if you guys follow us on Instagram, you'll see the Fightful account also was very gracious enough to put it out there. But yes, we were not AI'd.
No, it was a real life meetup. So Flying Drive saying, I mean, the one thing they could have done is have Cena say he'll go to AEW and risk this before the year is out to the actual Albert in the world back then, Bryan Danielson. To the actual best in the world back then, Bryan Danielson is what I think that was supposed to say. Yes. There's so much crossover there that they could have played with, but like they don't, word on the street was they don't even want the Happy Gilmore 2 trailer that plays during WWE programming featuring MJF to play. So if they're going to be that corny and petty about stuff, they ain't going that far. 1916 Batman, thank you for the chat. If there was something that you wanted to have read on air, just put stars in the regular chat and we'll read it out. If you were just donating, we appreciate that.
Am I the only one that read that as 999, the song? Remember when the WWE Network first came out? I read that in that, by the way.
I love it.
I don't know why. I apologize to everyone who might have triggered that back into their brain.
I buried it.
Damn it.
Orion Ben saying Woods and Kofi doing great work, but no TV shocker. Yeah, like there's just nobody for them to face in the Raw tag team division. I was stunned when they brought Fraxium to SmackDown because I was like, they're the perfect baby faces to dethrone the New Day. Like it would have made so much sense for them to show up there and then just win. So I'm with you. What did they bleep out in John Cena's promo? I think G damn. Right.
Yeah. So he said, damn, after the word God. Like, I'm not saying it together. I'm saying it backwards. So,
no, this
I
is
apologize to any. I apologize to anyone who is, you know, religious. And that's really bad to say. That's why they want to put it together. But yeah, he said the word damn after G-O-D. So,
Think part of them bleeping it was probably just because that's what they did with Punk. Right. Like they cut him off. So I think it was. If anything, also probably an allusion to that. Sabrina, who we love around here, saying, anyone in the chat know how to stream Yankee games? I got my dad an outdoor TV, and we don't want to connect to cable, so I'm just wondering how I would be able to watch games. Well, I can tell you one way, Sabrina.
Well, I can tell you two ways, Sabrina, but we're going to start off with yours.
Actually, we're going to start off with Sean's. Because this is NordVPN, baby.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Well, we are going to tell you real quick about NordVPN, but we also just got a mega chat that I want to give some attention to shortly.
Super mega chat.
We've gotten some real love from people that have been using Nord and the code Fightful lately, because I think more than ever, people are cord cutting because like everybody's subscribing to streaming services on top of cable. But it's so awesome because we get to tell Nord you guys are loving it. You guys love it, and it deepens our relationship with them. It's just like a win-win-win scenario. And genuinely, I use Nord because I watch all of my WWE programming on Netflix with it. I just go to Canada. But between...
Wow, that's a long trip.
Like, I know. I get there instantly, though. It's so nice. But sincerely, like, it will save you so much money on pay-per-views. It pays for itself real quick. Between the code Fightful and what you're saving on pay-per-views by going to Lithuania instead. Like, it's a fantastic investment. We don't talk about the other features as much as we should, but there is a password manager on there. There's so many extra features in there for you guys. And they're legitimately like extremely well trusted. You can get anything on there. So it really is like we have a lot of wonderful partners.
And I mentioned one feature that I really, truly love that I use a lot. Besides just NordVPN, because it's the greatest. I also love using the mesh system. And what that is that you can set up your own internal file sharing system. So no matter where you're at in the world, you could always reach your files through NordVPN, like through the internet. Like it's, you can send yourself files, you can store them. Like, so like for me, I do a lot of work with podcasting and videos. So it's good to like have a safe tunnel that I can send all this information back and forth from and be able to reach any computer that I want without having to like use weird like programs that you have to download, give them all the access, you know. Like I don't want any of that. I want to just be able to use one system, and I think NordVPN has done that really, really well.
I'm glad that you use that, because that's not something I've needed to explore. But that's
no I don't do nothing illegal with that.
No, of course not.
Moving on.
Let's move on to this chat from 1916 Batman, who says, y'all are awesome. Thank you. You're paying attention to mental health, and that has helped me greatly over the years. Let me emphasize a few things on this. One, that starts at the top. That starts with Sean, who's a big proponent of mental health, a big proponent of men's mental health, a big proponent of NAMI. And it's something that I can speak from personal experience, gets paid incredible attention to within Fightful itself. And the other thing is, this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And it was an effort from the entire Fightful team to highlight that in certain ways and to make it less about us and more about you guys and wrestling. The approach has been through wrestlers talking about mental health. There was a really great, it's funny because it truncated itself, but LA Knight gave this really great promo about, like, if you need to cry, there's nothing wrong with that. You should cry. And then he went on to call Drew a cry baby. It was pretty great. He was like, there's a point where it becomes ridiculous, though, and that's where Drew McIntyre's at. Hangman talking about his mental health in those promos with Jon Moxley. Eddie Kingston out of character. Today we posted like a 9-minute video he gave talking about like suicide prevention and his experience and his family and his experience fighting depression. There's a lot of examples within wrestling dating back to Macho Man on late night shows to present day, and it's becoming less and less stigmatized. And we have a 90% male audience, and that's pretty on par with most wrestling media. So it's not something that we take lightly, and there are certain things we get to talk about that are bigger than pro wrestling matches here in pro wrestling shows. And this is one of them. And it's sincerely so important to us on like a lot of our team on a personal level and in the greater landscape of things, because it's something that sometimes pro wrestling gets to shed a light on. And I think that's really awesome. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
The Line Drive is saying Kevin Owens just tweeted a photo of him wearing a Cena shirt, LMAO. Yeah, I saw that one too.
I missed that one too.
This also, by the way, Alex, you did unlock this memory for Professora Chaos saying it never left my mind. 999.
Professora Chaos. I'm sorry that 999 is now stuck in your head with the forever weird commercial with Hogan holding the cake that said 999 on it.
That's an incredible handle if you're a South Park fan. I don't know what the Spanish word is for general disarray, but
I don't
Professor
know.
Professor Chaos is one of my very favorite TV characters of all time. I love Butters, and I love Professor Chaos.
Butters,
so much.
My God.
That's me.
Also, 1916 Batman. Thank you for the amazing super chat.
Huge chat.
I appreciate
so
that.
So generous.
If you are really Batman from 1916, I really want to meet you.
Yeah, I will say, like, thank you so much for the chat. And if you are Batman from 1916, I have questions.
Me three.
Well, let's get back to talking about some wrestling. Thank you guys so much for your chats and your support today. I know this was a big episode the way that it ended. So I'm glad we got to talk about the ending first. But let's talk about the King of the Ring semifinal, because I got mixed feelings on this one, too. We had a pretty methodical, story-driven match here. It was really good. Sami Zayn, I've just accepted, is never going to win with a blue Thunder Bomb. And he gets a nice near fall in here with it. Randy just doing what Randy does best, dominating stretches with back suplexes on the table and Garvin stomps and the draping DDT. But we have Sami going for the Huluva kick only to be caught with an RKO. I feel like Sami Zayn is stuck in the adversity loop that Cody Rhodes was a while back. I don't hate Randy Orton winning here. I think it telegraphs who wins this pretty heavily. I feel like it's an infinitely more interesting story to have Sami Zayn win tonight, go on to win in Saudi Arabia, where he gets the most insane pops ever. And then you have him versus Gunther for the world heavyweight title this time, and Seth cashes in. That feels like the perfect way to call back the cashing in of the briefcase from Seth the first time around. Sami and Gunther already have history. Seth and Sami have present. Like, they have all this ongoing storytelling that feels like it's going to be longer term. So I was really hoping Sami would take this. I'm getting a little tired of the adversity loop, but the match was good. I'm assuming we're getting Randy and Cody. But I was kind of disappointed in the outcome because I really like the table that could be getting set on the Raw side of things. And I don't feel like Cody needs it to get back to Cena. And I don't think we're doing a Randy Orton rematch. So I didn't love the outcome here. I did like the match. Sami Zayn, I'm just a sicko for. Like, that guy, as far as the babyface, there's very few wrestlers that I'm more bought into what they're doing, and very few wrestlers whose hope spots I buy into less than Sami Zayn. I'm like, he's going to do it every time. So I liked the match. What did you think of the match, and how are you feeling about the outcome? Randy Orton is over as heck right now. I'll also say, I don't love a tournament with four baby faces in the finals. That doesn't really feel interesting to me. But your take on this match and what we're getting out of King of the Ring, because you also weren't here the past 2 weeks. So whatever you want to comment on here.
Yeah, we spoke about it when we were having our coffee about this whole, like, the way that they've been doing this whole King of the Ring this year, you know, specifically on the women's side of things. On the male side right now, because this is what we're talking about, I feel like they need a big name. They need a big name. And, you know, no one bigger than Randy Orton, right? So, like,
there's big Bronson Reed is bigger than Randy Orton. His name's not even Big Randy.
We can call him Big Randy, but I would feel a little weird.
He's big. Jacked Randy, I'll tell you that.
I mean, you know. Ripped. You can call him Jack Randy, but yeah, then you kind of need someone who, you know, a veteran in that whole, like, you know, group of that would elevate what they're trying to do with the King of the Ring, right? Even though the King of the Ring to me should be used just for like the mid-card talent that just wants to get a nice big push, right?
I'm getting fatigued on these same combinations of guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Rotating over and over again. It gets old. Really old. Pieces brings up an interesting point here, saying only Takeshita should be using the blue Thunder Bomb. There are certain moves when certain guys do them that I'm like, nobody else should be doing it.
Yeah.
Montez Ford's frog splash is very close to one of them. There's some competing ones that are very good, though. Takeshita's blue Thunder Bomb, it's getting close. If Sami Zayn literally ever won matches with the blue Thunder Bomb, I'd be more in on it, because he doesn't do a bad one. But Takeshita's blue Thunder Bomb is godly.
And I also feel like what's his name? Sami is like one episode away from bringing back like that weird propaganda Sami that he was doing, remember, for a while.
Oh my god, conspiracy theory Sami. I loved conspiracy theory.
I feel
Sami.
Like he's one episode away from just bringing that back. Like he's just been thrown into everything. He's just now just
remember
the guy
when he had the big like
player.
The It's Always Sunny, There Is No Carol and HR board.
Oh my god,
I love conspiracy theory Sami.
Yeah,
I think there's a very real possibility he wins the Royal Rumble.
Sami?
I think there's a they slow burn this Seth story, I think you get Sami beating Seth And then Braun beating Sammy almost immediately, because that's what happened with the Intercontinental title. And then you have Seth and Braun falling apart.
It's kind of crazy to think that, but I mean, like, I honestly saw Jey Uso becoming world champion, right? Like, that you could see that because people were getting behind it, right? And they wanted to kind of capitalize on that.
Rikishi spoke it into existence.
He
was like, my son got robbed, and they were like, he's in the King of the Ring tournament, like 6 hours later.
But Sammy, for some reason, I think the talk of him wanting to be champion is more impressive than actually him becoming champion. I just don't see it. I don't feel it.
You don't think he's going to be this Slim Jim Sami Zayn champion?
No, I think in a couple of weeks he'll be, or whenever KO comes back, they'll bring that back and they'll be best friends again and they'll do a tag team.
KO's got a long time before he's back.
So, you know.
They love their moments, though, and Sammy would be a moment. A moment for sure. Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. I feel like Sammy's winning Rumble and they didn't want to give him both. That's very possible. Welcome back, Alex. And that's Butters. Hello. I love Butters, too. I love Butters. I was always him and my friend group going, I don't know, fellas. I'm the best.
I love butter in general, my toast and bagel.
That's fair. I love a good plant-based butter now that I'm vegan, but who doesn't?
I had a plant-based drink today. It was pretty good.
There's some good stuff. The alternatives are getting better.
I had it with you, the mango drink.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
God,
I will say, the ability to be an unhealthy vegan helps keep me vegan because if I was stuck to only very limited options and I couldn't have anything that tasted remotely like fun.
Yeah.
I would just start eating meat again. I think, unfortunately, I think I'm that.
There's nothing wrong with eating meat.
Yes, there is.
No,
if you ask me,
human. We eat meat.
Human? You mean our jaws move side to side like herbivores and not carnivores? Yeah, we are human.
My friend.
I'll lecture you about it another
time. I'll tell you what. I get my meat from a actual farm that raises the animals, loves them, gives them the best life ever, and only like uses the animals just for food. And that is it. Not like, you know, what we see Purdue and everyone else do.
Well, if you've got issues with how your meat is being raised.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Stay out of my meat. I mean, my mail.
You know what's funny is we have like a few, we probably have four pre-records of that. But I always try to remember which one it was so that you can go, yeah, mailman. I
think. Yeah, mailman. I used to work as a mailman, so that's the funny part.
That's the best part. See, you delivered some discreet packages, but if you don't want your package to be discreet.
I've never had a problem with discreetness. Just put it out there.
Bang-a-lang.
By the way,
guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We're working through this episode of SmackDown. What were you going to say?
Hey, you're so, like, I always forget that you're so short. I saw Kate walking up the street, right? Like, she's like coming towards me, and I'm like, oh, that's, oh, that looks like Kate. I put my phone away and I look at her and I'm like, how do I go up to her and like give her a hug? And if I give her a hug, I'm like hugging the top of her hair.
I'm 5'8". I'm tall. You're just 6'10".
So, of course, I have to, like, bend down, and people are like, what's this weirdo doing? Like, crawling on the sidewalk, and I'm like...
You're tall enough and, like, a big enough dude. You give good hugs. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I give myself
this
hugs.
Is better than the SmackDown show. Oh, my gosh.
This is why you guys come here every single Friday. We talk about wrestling, your meat, and hugs.
Do you see what's going on here, by the way, in the chat? Me, Normus, and my cousin are, they have this burn notice.
Oh.
Propaganda.
Burn notice.
That I'm not
good.
Falling for. Okay?
Are they talking about the show?
They're talking about the show Burn Notice, which my cousin loves.
That was such a great show, by the way.
Come on.
Whoa, I'm the only... Did she just leave? Okay, let's... welcome to Friday Night Burn Notice. My name's Alex Cardoza, and Kate has just left the show. I think she accidentally left me. Forever.
I'm not here for this Burn Notice nonsense. That Burn Notice.
It was... Let me tell you something. Between... USA had a long run of great shows. Silk Stockings, Burn Notice, Monk, was it Suits? Dr. Danny show. Do you guys remember that one? Dr. Danny, she was a psychologist for football players and teams. God, such great shows.
I'm gonna admit
La Femme Nikita. Oh God, yes.
I don't normally admit this, but I'm gonna admit it right here. It's not about Burn Notice, so my cousin can calm down because I ain't watching it. But because of SmackDown when it was on Tuesdays,
mm-hmm.
I was tempted by Temptation Island, and now I unironically watch.
I will never go there. Sorry,
it's
that's one thing I don't do.
Horrific! It is garbage. It is trash. It makes me dumber. It's terrible, and I now watch it loyally because of SmackDown.
If I still think highly of you, though. By the way,
that means a lot because I hate myself.
Oh God.
I hate myself for that. That's disgusting.
Welcome to Friday Night Psychotherapy or whatever it's called, Therapeutic Medicine with Alex Cardoza. Tell me, Kate.
Friday Night Psych.
How does this make you feel?
Psych was a great show.
Psych was a great show.
Necessary Roughness, remember?
No, Roughness. That's the one. Dr. Danny, Necessary Roughness. Oh, God. I'm just...
The Royal Pains. There was a lot of goofy white guys on the USA Network for a while.
See, that's there like, was a lot of great shows on USA Network. I mean, they had so much luck with all those shows.
It's true.
They should have more luck now because they don't have Raw and they're about to lose SmackDown in a little while. So,
I know.
Mr. Robot, yeah. Yes. All right, let's go back to it. I could sit here and talk for 17
we
hours.
We could talk about great shows, but you know what? We can also talk about great scoops on FightfulSelect.com. Where there were some Mercedes and Toni Storm updates for you. There was some TNA Impact injury news for you guys, unfortunately, regarding Elijah. There was a Q&A for you. There was Bryan Danielson news. There was a lot going on. There was news about Damian Priest working banged up. There was news about Drew McIntyre. We got lots and lots of stuff. There was news that MJF got followed after Grand Slam because of the heat that he had. Absolutely nuts. Absolutely.
By the way, I told a story when I went to go see him in MLW. He also got followed in MLW when he was in Cicero Stadium in Chicago. He pissed off the crowd so much that they were waiting outside to shank him. And he kind of had to tell them, like, guys, this is... TV show had to call the police officer was just like staring at him like waiting for it to happen. I don't think the guy.
This isn't the first time because MLW used to run in Mexico a lot, and he got heat there. He got like followed back to his car, so I don't think this is a surprise to him. It's just still insane.
If you know anything about Cicero Stadium, it's full of a lot of Latinos, a lot of Mexican people there live around that area, so they're ready to get after him. It was pretty funny.
They are. Me and Norma saying I waited 49 months for a proper Burn Notice review show. Give me what I want.
You're welcome, everyone.
It's infinitely better than Freddy Got Fingered, low bar, but still. That's not how things work in these parts, okay? I don't just review at the whim of what people want. It's me and Alex collaborative effort on FightfulSelect.com, but if you pay us enough, we will do it.
Yeah. Jeez.
David Foster saying, after the match announcements for next week, I got bummed that Io will be the only singles champion without a defense next week because of Liv's unfortunate injury. Still pulling for Io Asuka at SummerSlam. Let me tell you. It is such a bummer that Liv Morgan is injured. Such a bummer. And none of this is her fault. But it is completely of their own doing that they have put themselves in this position, because Liv is super over and she's great. But to have her in programs with the Bellas, with Io, with Judgment Day, all at the same time, you now have to go and engineer like four or five different things instead of making, I don't know, your women's world champion, who's maybe the best counter wrestler in the world. And that comes from a Zack Sabre Jr. sicko. Okay. And like one of the most unbelievable women's wrestlers of all times, instead of having anything lined up for her since WrestleMania, now you're in this position. Waste of everybody's time. Waste of everybody's time. They finally line something up and this happens, and that's unfortunate, but it should not have taken them that long. With all of the momentum that Io had coming out of WrestleMania, with one of the best women's triple threats you will ever see coming out of WrestleMania, the fact they had nothing lined up for her for 2 months is egregious. It's egregious.
I said this to you when we were talking today earlier this afternoon, face to face, everyone, if you guys didn't know.
As people, IRL.
Yeah, not AI or like on a Zoom or something. It's like the top of the card and then everything else, right? So you have the top of the card, right? I was saying this earlier, like and then there's just this, like, even when you look at people like Jade and everyone else, Bianca, anyone else who's underneath the title picture, it's an absolute free fall. And it's just like, it makes sense because WWE's very good at putting stories together. So you have this organized chaos where stories are going on that could lead to a title match. But if you're not already involved up there, right, there's nothing to back it up. For instance, with, you know, what's happening with Io and what's happening with Liv being gone now, unfortunately, which was such a weird injury the way it happened as well. Like, it wasn't anything where she was
so
like,
unfortunate and so, yeah. And we,
like, and remember when the body
match or whatever,
when the body gives up like this, where you have like a injury like that, is because it's already been beaten up and it's just waiting. It's just waiting for that little moment. And unfortunately for her, it was like at the weirdest, like almost non-contact way to get a injury. And this is how big injuries happen.
It's a weird stuff.
Yeah, we see it in the NFL all the time, non-contact injuries. A receiver's running up the sideline, and all of a sudden they're on the floor because they just blew their MCL, PSL, and all the PCL, whatever it's called, you know? So it's crazy. Like, unfortunately for her.
Yeah, they blew their pumpkin spice latte out. It's the saddest thing.
Please, it's only 3 months away. By the way, if you guys didn't know.
Speaking of women's wrestling.
We send each other memes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Alex and I, even in the middle of June, are sending each other Christmas countdowns. That's the nature of our relationship. Hey, Tiffany Stratton hasn't fought Nia Jax in 10 minutes. Let's have her fight Nia Jax again, huh? Nia Jax hasn't really been wrestling a whole bunch of late, but she's back to get her revenge on Tiffany. The amount of rematches in this company also getting ridiculous. Like the amount of keeping people in programs that they were either previously in or just it's not fresh at all. But you had Nia wanting revenge after losing her title due to chair shots, basically. And you have Tiffany meeting her on the ramp, declaring herself the better woman and challenging her to a last woman standing match. Very happy to have at least a proper blow off to this with a stipulation on it. But things break down. Jax hits a leg drop. She's posing with the belt. And then Naomi rushes out to cash in. But Jax yanks her out before she can hand in the briefcase. And a brawl erupts with Tiffany drop kicking Naomi onto Nia. and standing tall. So I'm hoping that Naomi cashes in sooner than later so we don't get fatigued on this kind of behavior. But this is your Money in the Bank briefcase behavior. That's what you do when you're a heel. You threaten to cash in at all times. You taunt people. You're walking around with it. I love Naomi with this device. Like, this character of Naomi with this device feels right. I think it was absolutely the right call at Money in the Bank to give this to her. I just think if I'm booking, Jade wins Queen of the Ring. She cashes in on Tiffany, and immediately Naomi cashes in and wins. So that you have Jade having this brief moment in the sun of winning the title, and then Naomi taking that away from her, successfully cashing in. And then whenever Bianca's ready to come back, she comes back. But I say do that sooner than later, because Alex, Naomi is hot as heck right now. Like, she is over with this character.
Yeah, I don't think we should wait very long, specifically with the fact that she has the momentum, the people behind her, she has the gimmick. You don't want to let things go a little too long before it kind of just becomes A, obvious. Oh, she's going to win in this spot, right? And B, it gets to the point where it's like, well, if she would have won it a couple weeks or months ago, we would have this amazing long run of matches and things that could happen. But sometimes if we wait too long, right, we're just sitting there going, oh gosh, when is she going to lose it? Like, we can't even enjoy the fact that she just won it. We know that something else is coming up the pipeline. So I would strike hard and hot with her because she is on top of her damn game right now.
Yeah, she's doing some incredible work. And I was someone who loved Feel the Glow Naomi. Like, I really loved that character. But this is, like, some of the most compelling work she's ever done.
I hope they sunset that, because she's such a badass in the role that she's on. And even if she decides to go babyface, have a version of this be her, because it's just so good.
Yeah, I could see Naomi with an edge as a face. That would be really, really fun.
Yes.
There's an incredible woman in NXT named Lash Legend, and she has a lot of strengths that are presentation and charisma and physical strength. Rather than she's newer at this and she doesn't get enough reps. She's come a very, very long way in ring, but there's still like some consistency things that could get worked out. My Tuesday night co-host Alex Pulowski has been saying, like, Lash Legend as Naomi's heater to help her fight off people like Bianca and Jade, who are absolute powerhouses, would be a fantastic pairing. And I could not agree with that idea more. Like, Lash Legend as Naomi Cedar. Naomi, this version of Naomi having her own diesel. All day. Yeah. I feel like that would be such a good call.
She looks it too. She looks like she would absolutely kill it in that role, you know? Because she's not comedic. She's not there laughing. She's not there to make you dance and whatever. She is straight up gangster.
Tons of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
But not like silly placating charisma, like just all presence when she walks in a room kind of thing. So would love it. Would love that. Let's stick in women's wrestling and talk about this Queen of the Ring semifinal between Alexa Bliss and Asuka. Asuka winning was awesome. Alexa's pop is insane right now. Still, I love to see that. Like, it has sustained itself despite the weird decision to bring her back and take her off TV. But this was good. There was some technical stuff in this. There was some fast-paced stuff in this. Like, they both played in each other's worlds quite a bit. Asuka looks great. Like, she looks back to form, which is good to see after such a 13-month injury. That's pretty nuts. And Alexa had some underdog to her. I like Asuka maybe leaning more heel. And Alexa, even though she doesn't seem like a straight up babyface necessarily, like, playing the underdog aspect of this pretty well, because Asuka is a force to be reckoned with. So this was good chemistry. I felt like the whole way Alexa looks really like energized in this. I like Asuka winning. And backstage you have Jade watching, and she should be facing Roxanne on Raw. And she says that she's not a contender, but a queen in waiting. I'm not here to win. I'm here to reign. So some good development from that side of things. I have Jade going all the way in this. Some people are saying, like, Asuka just came back. Have her ride the wave of momentum. Get to Asuka and Io, which I think could be a fun direction to go to. Just feels like it's kind of Jade's for the taking. What did you think of this match, and where are you at on your Queen of the Ring predictions?
Jade would be a great pick, actually. I'm a huge Jade stan, if you guys don't know. I mean, she could powerbomb me any day of the week. With that also being said, she has a movie that she just got signed up for that she has to go film. You know? So that Asuka move could sound a little bit more realistic. But we gotta keep an eye on that, the fact that Jay did just sign up to do something, and we don't know when that's gonna start. And when it comes to films, like, that's the thing. Like, you make her, if we don't go all the way and make her a champion, when this starts, when it stops, like, you know, do we lose her? But she's committed to something else at the moment. So I'm keeping that in the back of my mind. The Alexa match was really well done. Alexa has, to me, in my head, I think she is one of the veteran women in the roster now. I think you could plug her into anything, and it'll kind of work for her. She's very good at either interacting with talent, being backstage, up front, in the ring, obviously. So her dynamic as a veteran now with Charlotte or Asuka or anyone really works. I love it.
Be Normus asking, what's your favorite episode of Burn Notice? And give us a beat-by-beat review for the lovely vegan hater whose name I won't say, Semper Fi.
We'll have Burn Notice talk soon.
Go ahead. Nick, are you a real Burn Notice fan? Name your top three albums.
This is going to be hard, man. 5 seasons, you know, a lot of episodes. Give me some time. Give me some
Alex,
time.
I thought they were all great. In a city, no ID, no job history. I don't know what the rest of the intro is, but my cousin types it to me every now and then.
Well, I mean, that was pretty much earlier this morning for me.
There you go. There you go. Alex, let's take it back to the top, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's talk about LA Knight calling out Seth Rollins and getting the Heyman special here. We got LA Knight walking through Gorilla and headed to the ring, livid after Money in the Bank, and says that Rollins and his crew stole his briefcase moment, and Knight isn't interested in sneak attacks or waiting games. He's ready to settle this with Seth Rollins right now. But Paul Heyman comes out in front of Rollins here, makes his kind of his smarmy little routine that he does more often than not here, calling himself LA Knight's biggest fan and trying to defuse everything and saying, leave now or something really bad is going to happen before the night's over. LA Knight doesn't back down. He's throwing barbs at Heyman, calling him a parasitic leech who clings to stars and bleeds them dry, and teasing, fighting Heyman on the spot, and says to Heyman, you can have the first swing, and the crowd is nuts for this, but you have Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker storming the ring. Knight holding his own with some chair shots and standing tall to close the segment. We don't usually get moral victories, but this is all just beginning. Backstage, Nick Aldis makes it official that LA Knight and Bronson Reed will happen later. I want to bring up this chat from the line drive because it's an interesting one. Maybe it's just me, but I kind of hate Braun and Bronson have become mute animals and feels like a regression for both characters. So I'll say I understand this. I do think in the long run, the payoff will be worth it for Bron Breakker. Bronson Reed has always read to me as like a badass for hire kind of guy. I hate that they just never explained what happened with him and Seth Rollins. They were just like, time passed and he was injured. So now they're friends, even though they had a blood feud. They never really explained that, to that I can recall. But I've seen a lot of this of like, man, Bron Breakker felt like the future, and now he kind of feels like an attack dog. I think the eventual moment where he turns on Seth Rollins will send him into a stratosphere all on his own. I could see Sammy winning and Bron taking it from him. So I feel like the long game makes this pay off. It does feel like Death Riders 2.0, and Death Riders 2.0 felt like Bloodline 2.0. So it doesn't feel fresh to me, this like making it in its own image thing. But I don't hate it. I understand the criticism now. I just have faith that in the long run, it makes Bron the star of the future. What did you think of this segment, and what are your feelings on that chat? Do you feel like this is a temporary regression, or are you still kind of like in on where this seems to be going?
I just feel like I he opened up my mind when reading that they feel like mute dogs, right? Because Bronson was on a meteoric rise. He was freaking tsunami anyone and everything. If you were in the way, he was going to tsunami you. And Bron was starting to feel like he was climbing a ladder, coming out of NXT, doing his thing. Perhaps by adding, I don't know what their thought process was putting them with Seth Rollins. It does kind of boggle me, because I would have liked for those two guys to kind of do their own thing. I also thought they remind me of the Authors of Pain. Now they were just two dudes that were there that were ginormous, you know, and could have done a lot. And didn't like Seth do something with them as well? I could be wrong, but
years ago, right? the first yeah. time around, I believe
the first yeah. time around, yeah. So this is it's starting to feel like they're recycling that a little bit. I do agree that Bron will break out of this, but then that just leaves Bron. I'm sorry, Bron will break out of this, and that just leaves poor Bronson Reed, like, you know, as an outlier.
I don't really mind Bronson Reed in this role, because I feel like those guys don't usually go on to be like world champions. He could get set up for a really fun mid-card role, though, where he's just like tsunamiing people with his title. You know what I mean?
And
like,
if they are thinking about bringing other people in. Stuff. You know, like we've read on Fightful and other places
Body Slam.
That they're thinking about bringing in other people, right? At that point, are we bringing in other people because there's going to be, you know, a break in the group, you know? And I'm just going to put this out there. You know, it's past midnight, Saturday morning. For some reason, it just felt kind of funny having him have this putting together a faction for him while, you know, his former best friend in the company, they're still probably still best friends, Mox, has his faction over there, like kind of seeing which one, you know, which parallels, which one is the better one or whatever. Like, it just this faction came out of nowhere, right? So
I like it because I think Seth desperately needed it. And I will also say, like, Seth has the charisma to be a stable leader. And I think this is a good call. And I think Seth has the ability to make a star of the future with Bron Breakker. So I really like all of that. As far as adding people, I know Corey Hayes at bodyslam.net, great work from him of late, had mentioned that they had thrown around Ricky Starks and Ethan Page as possibilities. My thing is, this group needs a pin eater. Like, Bron Breakker's not a pin eater. Bronson Reed sure as hell ain't a pin eater. I honestly thought that maybe Jeff Cobb was going to come into this, because I could see him playing that role well of, like, being a pin eater that still maintains his heat.
I see Ricky doing
Starks
that.
Ain't that guy.
No,
Ethan Page
I see
could
Ricky.
Could be that guy, but I don't like that use for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Ethan Page is way more charismatic in the way that he presents himself and the way he talks. Like, he's cocky and I don't know.
And
like,
Ricky Starks, really?
Yeah, Ricky kind of to me just seems like, you know, someone who could take the pin and he won't look like he's weak, because he can bounce back from it. He can talk the talk when he does get pinned. You know, and kind of like be that heel that, like, when Seth looks at him, he's like, bro, why are you eating all these damn pins? He has the way to talk himself out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't worry, boss. Okay. I got this. You know, Ethan Page kind of has more of that cool vibe. Like, you know, like, and kind of like, in a way, like a killer. Because, I mean, that's what I've seen from him. Like, he can really go. And he can go hard and fast. Ricky seems like someone that can get thrown around and he'll still survive.
When Ethan Page first showed up to NXT, I feel like they gave him this Miz-like archetype. We used to talk about that on the NXT show. Of like, Alex Blask used to call it Miz-neyland. Because he was like, Ethan Page to me never read as like chicken shit heel runaway guy. Now they've made him into a sadistic dude, and it feels much more authentic to him, and I really like it. He could play that role. I just think he has a higher ceiling than it, but people break out from factions all the time and do great work. Ricky feels way too much like old school version of The Rock to be a second fiddle in anybody's group to me. Like, I feel like that guy doesn't belong in a faction that he's not leading, because I think his strengths are completely different. Different. Let's keep moving along this episode of SmackDown. Get in those super chats and humper chats. We're having some fun talking about this episode. We started at the end with John Cena's pipe bomb. And we're working our way through it all. We talked King of the Ring. We talked Queen of the Ring. We did have this match that got aborted by, I know you love Kit Wilson and you're pretty deadly, but we were supposed to have Aleister Black and Kit Wilson. Aleister Black never made it to the match because Ron Killings, R-Truth, ambushed Kit Wilson before the bell and locked in the STF, demanding that Cena answered his challenge, which set up what we got later in the night. So just an extra piece to what we already spoke about. Is what it is. We don't have to go into detail, but if there was anything that you wanted to say about Kit, I know you love him so much.
I need the musical. I need the mesh shirts, cut off shirts. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a vibe. They're exactly like when I grow up, I want to be like them.
You know what? I respect it. They have like the one. Did Def Rebel do their theme? Pretty deadly.
I mean, at this point, could have been anyone, and it's still good.
They have an incredible theme. Wow, Def Rebel did it. A rare Def Rebel W. That pretty deadly theme is amazing.
That's not all poop on Def Rebel, man. They got hired for a reason. They didn't get hired because they were bad. Okay?
They got hired for a reason. Do something other than person's name and four butt rock chords. They're terrible. They ruined Jordan Grace's entrance on Tuesday. I'm over it.
She even said that she was like, guys, get over it.
Sucks.
It's great.
It sucks.
Go Def Rebels. Go.
It sucks.
W in the chat for Def Rebels. Let's go.
They're lazy and they don't care and every theme is the same and they ruined Royal Rumble because all of these themes are so generic that nobody got any pops and they've only gotten worse.
Well, they got money,
they
right?
Suck.
WWE got money. Bring in Limp Bizkit, bring in Kid Rock, who they love. Bring in everyone.
Bring in Arcade Fire for all I care.
Everyone. Bring in everyone. Have them all do new themes for everyone. Personalized themes like they used to do in the 90s.
Terrible. Let's talk about the promo parade where Cody Rhodes said nothing. Not a word from Cody today. Easy payday for that guy. Good for Cody. Get your bag, dude. Enough yapping. Right. Enough dramatic pauses and crying. Just show up, paid.
28 minutes of yeeting in the ring, dancing, and him making a face like he was going to cry every time. Us was like, we're brothers, Us. We've been through a lot, Us. And he's holding it in. Our families, Us. Well, come this week, we're going to
tell
fight.
Cody that their Raw match isn't personal. It's just business. And that he respects him, but he's out to win.
Us.
Generic. Sammy entered to remind us that he's never been world champion, to which I say, I know! It's the bane of my existence,
stand in
Sammy.
Line, brother. You ain't going nowhere.
And Randy showed up, and he said nothing was going to stop him from facing Cena at SummerSlam, not even friendships. But in a rare moment of sincerity, Sammy said that he will be world champion someday. Or, I'm sorry, Randy said that Sammy will be world champion someday, just not at SummerSlam. Promo parades are not for me. Having four baby faces in the final is not for me. But there was objectively nothing like wrong with anything that got said. It just, there was no new information provided, really.
It's a 3-hour show. You needed a promo parade. Oos.
Are you just going to start calling everybody Oos?
I'm just so tired of seeing Cody cry every single time he's out there.
It's just every tears, Oos.
Single. Dang. Like, if I were to do a collage, oh, God, it'll be never ending.
Let's talk Charlotte Flair versus Chelsea Green. I feel like Chelsea Green should have gone far in the Queen of the Ring tournament, because to go from President Chelsea to Queen Chelsea, there's so much promo work that could have been done. But Charlotte takes kind of an early beating thanks to some interference. Surprise, surprise. But she fights back with chops, that big spear that she does, some suplexes. Chelsea tried to steal it with a small package and some face mask shots, which I thought was clever. But Charlotte locks in the figure eight and Chelsea taps out. This was a little disjointed. I think there's some people, and I understand where they're coming from, that feels like Charlotte should have lost to kind of further her spiral. But post-match, we do have Alexa making the save and hitting the Sister Abigail on Green and offering a handshake to Charlotte, who walks away. So they did at least advance that story in the process. So this was perfectly cromulent, as they say.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. Cromulent. I've never heard that word in my life, but I'm going to start using it.
It's a fake word from The Simpsons, I believe.
Like Marcus Nichols on the chat. Very cromulent.
Perfectly cromulent. Well, then watch something else.
I don't understand, right?
We didn't even talk about the Jey Uso entrance, did we?
I don't...
I
just made a reference that it was 28 minutes long. I didn't say anything negative.
It was.
I said it was 28 minutes
long. Objectively...
It was eating goes on for a very long time, man. You come on here to our show why did you even take the time to press play?
It is inarguable that they eat for a very long time.
Okay, they're very crumbulent with their eating. Okay, so it's 22 minutes of crumbulence.
Here's the best part of the cromulent thing. I never watched The Simpsons. It was not my jam. My mom didn't like The Simpsons. What she didn't know is that me and my dad would sneak off to watch BattleBots and then South Park, which was way more inappropriate than The Simpsons by miles. But I know the term cromulent just from like osmosis of everybody else referencing The Simpsons. And I also, for Simpsons fans, learned about floor pie. So there you go.
Wait, what?
I know.
Say that again?
I don't know if I can express the magic of the floor pie scene in The Simpsons, but I will send it to you. Amazing. It's very fun.
22 minutes floor pie. Of yeeting. I'm going to leave the floor pie to you.
Just me, Oos. Here's something I love. Jacob Fatu on my screen every week cutting promos. I got to say, I've said it before that like my favorite promo style is the Kevin Owens, Eddie Kingston makes you feel like someone wants to fight promo, right? Kevin Owens is out. That hurts my feelings personally. Eddie Kingston is out. That hurts my feelings personally. Jacob Fatu stepping up to fill that void. I love. Look me in the eye when I'm talking to you, Solo Sikoa. Damn, dude. I love what we got out of here. He lays in to to this. And Solo Sikoa tries to pull Jacob Fatu back into the family, dropping the I love you, claiming Fatu was the only one he could trust. But I loved him saying, like, this was never about family for you, all this bloodline stuff. This was about me bringing you gold and me doing this for you and me to, oh my God. And I felt like Solo killed it on the other end of this. Ever since they let him start leaning into his humor, so good. You have Fatu throwing down the U.S. title, asking Solo to fight him for it. You have Solo sneak attacking, and that turned out to be a bad decision. But Fatu destroys Solo, and JC Mateo comes in to make the same until Jimmy Uso returns, super kicking both of them and aligning with Jacob Fatu, at least for now. And the crowd went nuts for this. This has been excellent. This is what we've wanted to see from Solo Sikoa all along. And yep. Jacob Fatu is just the realest guy in the company right now. I feel like, man, some really, really, really good stuff here. What did you think of this segment? This was one of my highlights of the show.
All well done. Jacob is firing all cylinders. I want him to stay healthy. I want things to continue to thrive for him. Of course, my all-time favorite, Big Jim, comes in to help out. We all love Big Jim.
To
come there and kind of clear out the ring. Solo kind of, I think that once this whole bloodline thing is over, I don't know where he goes. But I feel like, unfortunately, like Solo was brought in to be such a cool heavy. And everyone else has now elevated. And so I was like, what the hell am I doing? I'm going to be the funny guy now, you know? So, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But very, very well done segment, keeping him strong. And by him, I mean Jacob, obviously.
I agree. And I feel like the stuff that they've been doing with Solo the past couple weeks has gotten a lot better. I said this while you were absent. But I feel like people forgot how funny Roman was at like peak bloodline Roman with Sammy. And the fact that they like remembered that for Solo Sikoa to do has let his personality show through a lot more. And they like kind of ventured in that territory previously and then they steered away from it. Glad they found their way back to it because Solo having a sense of humor and mocking people and stuff was some really good stuff. Really good stuff. Well, let's end our night here. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video. 6,000, almost 700 of you watching right now across platforms. We appreciate you so much. I know watching on YouTube, sometimes they're like, we're going to give you 47 ads. And I know that's a bear. So those of you who stick around to give us those views, we really do appreciate it. Please do subscribe to this channel. Please do leave a thumbs up. I think we're at 180,000 subscribers, which is nuts. We're expanding a little bit too. We're doing more on social media. Sean's going to be doing some more of those studio videos because that R-Truth one has like almost 40,000 views on it, which is nuts. So thank you guys so much for however you choose to support us, the freeways, the chats, all of it. It means a lot, but
yes.
Let's wrap up our SmackDown review on this Bronson Reed versus LA Knight match where LA Knight wisely ambushes Reed before the bell. I like it when even faces are, it's all too rare, but smart. Like Bronson Reed's a mountain of a man jumping in before the bell, even though that's a heel-ish tactic, just looks like you're a smart wrestler. But he avoids some of those big power moves, hits that elbow drop, and he's just about to deliver that BFT until Bron Breakker gets involved. Color me shocked. A DQ finish. LA Knight wins via DQ. LA Knight and Reed had good chemistry. What I liked about this is that like LA Knight doesn't often play underdog babyface in the sense of like size physicality because he's not the biggest dude in the world, but he's definitely not a little guy. But everybody's a little guy next to Bronson Reed. Would have loved a clean finish. Would love for them to find a way to tell a story with a clean finish. But this is just beginning. We seem to get interference and DQ finishes on every show. This one had three of those. It had two DQ finishes and interference earlier. So I liked what we were getting. I'm exhausted by DQ finishes, but I like this program. I like LA Knight mixing it up with this group. What did you think of the match that we got?
Yeah, same. I think that LA Knight, you could put, I think so far you could, you've been able to put them just about anywhere and it's worked. I mean, even when you had the Mountain Dew glow in the dark match against Bray, they made it work, right?
That's true.
So I think that they just if they're going to keep him outside of the title picture for the time being and just kind of have like these weird feuds in between, like if he decides to go back and have another title run, this would be the way to go.
I think you're right. And one thing that I was thinking about watching this match, I was like, man, LA Knight really made the Logan Paul stuff work, because I feel like a lot of Logan stuff since has not worked as well. And that program, I'm not a Logan Paul gal, but like that program worked. I couldn't deny that. So I appreciate his value always and how over with the crowd he is. But I was like, he also does elevate a lot of talent when he's given the chance to. That obviously doesn't need to be the case here, but I look forward to him versus Bron Breakker at some point as well. But we did get this chat from Rafael Garcia who said, you know, I feel sad for R-Truth. This was supposed to be a different Ron Killings instead of Ron Noro Suzuki. And we got a DQ and a promo, a good promo that Ollie Davis will hate, but a good promo. I don't know where he goes, but I guess we'll see in the future. Yeah, R-Truth not getting to be the star of the program after such a big thing happened does kind of suck, but I also feel like that might send him into a violent rage, which I would like him being like, that son of a bitch did not do that to me. And then just being Ron Killings from that point forward, I think could be some really, really, really great stuff. But I agree with that chat. Like, he had this mini match at the end of the show. He had that incredible promo on Monday, and it just feels like he got kind of lost in the shuffle already a little bit. So I do understand that for sure. Any thoughts on that chat and any thoughts closing out here?
I'll leave you guys with this. I'm happy he's going to be able to get his send off tonight. Out of all the things that he's been doing since coming back, tonight felt a little bit forced for me. It felt like it was like overly scripted and forced, as opposed to being more organic, right? The run-in, the promos backstage, the thing with Damian Priest, like it just all felt a little bit too forced for me. I would prefer if this was truly a Ron Killings moment for him to just kind of be him, do him, be cool, be sly, punch somebody in the mouth if he needs to get through. And then, you know, if he needs to pop in the ring, pop in like, you know, like John Moxley style, right? Like just come in, be cool about it. Like, this is Ron effing Killings, you know? Right now, just today, today's episode felt a little bit forced.
He felt a little different today than he did on Monday. Like he felt like a little bit different of a guy today than he did on Monday in a way. So I can certainly understand what you're saying with that. But we do have one more chat to LT Photo just saying claps and bangs. The Cena bomb was wild. It was. We talked about that pretty extensively at the beginning of the show. I liked it. Even though it was totally a babyface promo, I liked what we got out of it a lot. But Alex, I also liked reviewing SmackDown with you. I liked seeing you in person earlier today.
Yeah. And I like seeing you
in general.
I hugged her. And it was like, oh my God, she's real.
I know.
Girl.
Warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
It's good to see you. But where can people find you if they can't just go get coffee with you?
Where
can people experience Alex Cardoza?
Wow. I mean, there's only one place for that.
Cardoza experience.
Yes. You guys can just head over to my website, alexiscardoza.com. I have all of my links there for every single project and every single little thing that I'm doing. Thank you all for supporting and for being extremely supportive of everything from my you know, little podcast show to other wrestling events that I'm doing to my Power Rangers, you know, cr- crazy moments online, everything that I do on YouTube. You guys have killed it, and I appreciate you. Yeah, so that's where you can find absolutely everything. I would really, really hope that you guys do go there and follow my YouTube and Instagram. Like, that's where I put more stuff that I am working on project-wise.
Well, I didn't know any of this was coming up, but I couldn't have timed it better. I did release a video asking if John Cena and CM Punk should be in opposite roles. I did that on my YouTube channel this week, so you can head over there and check that out. I made the case for CM Punk being the one to sell out to The Rock and not John Cena, and asked if they should be flip-flopped. So I didn't know this was in the zeitgeist, but I guess I timed it pretty well. That went up on Monday, so check that out on my YouTube channel at Miss Kate Fabe on YouTube as well. More content coming your way. Next week, we're going to have a video of three things on the business and marketing side that I think WWE and AEW are missing the boat on. People kind of dug when I was talking in generalities about both companies not being up on certain trends. So we're going to continue to do more of that. I think one of them I feel extremely confident about that they should definitely both be doing. So I'm excited to release that next week, as well as some What Do We Do With the Death Riders post Moxley losing the title at All In, hopefully. What does that look like? I've got a video on that coming up as well. So at Miss Kate Fabe on social media and on my YouTube. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We've got your Collision post show in its normal time slot tomorrow. We've got Grapsody. So much content headed your way here on Fightful. Subscribe to this channel. We'll see you next week.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.